Deuteronomy 8, and let's continue where we left off last Sunday. How easy is it to forget God and what He has given to us and what He has done in our lives? And we want to talk today about forgetting God and what that looks like, what that means. But as we think about here in Deuteronomy 8, and we think about our theme for this 2019, I want us to think about the aspect of our own lives at times, not living in light of remembering God. We sometimes forget God. It's interesting to think about the Israelites and the commands here to not forget God and how quickly they seem to forget Him when He had done some amazing things for them. But I want to apply it to our own lives today. So as we go through here, this chapter, a good section of it today, I want us to put ourselves in their sandals, so to speak. That will do us well today. What dangers are there when we fail to give God the glory and praise that are due His name? Are there any dangers? Are there any dangers when we forget to praise and thank God? We just sang, and it was chosen on purpose, we sang, "Thank you, Lord." Thank you, Lord. And it's not Thanksgiving time, but it is Thanksgiving time. And it's good for us to spend time praising God each and every day. And there's good reasons. And I think today we're going to find out that there are actually dangers when we don't do it. There are dangers when we choose not to praise God. So let's find out today about that. Last week we looked at the opening message from this chapter where Moses spoke God's words to the children of Israel and reminded them of the goodness of the Lord in the past. We saw that in the first six verses last Sunday. In Deuteronomy, the book prior to chapter 8, we find that Moses had been going through aspects of the law with the children of Israel. If you begin in chapter 5, or look back in chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it said, "Moses called all Israel and said unto him, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you will learn them, keep them, and do them." So in chapter 5, he is beginning that process. In chapter 6, we know it well because it's the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength." We know those verses because they are repeated in the New Testament in the book of Matthew with the Lord Jesus. Chapter 8, when we get to chapter 8 in Deuteronomy, we come to the place where God is commanding the Israelites to not forget what had been done for them in the past as they are on the precipice of entering the promised land. But there's more than just an aspect of remembering the past. God is going to talk and tell them in this section to not forget something. So there's a remembering in this passage, but there is also, let's not forget something, very specific. So a simple outline goes like this for this chapter. It's a remembering what God has done in the past, how I fed you, how I gave you all that you needed in the wandering of the 40 years in the desert. And now as you are about to enter into the promised land, I want to remind you that because of what I've done for you in the past, I will take care of you in the future. Certainly that's needed for us today. We can think back to how God has provided for us in the past, and we dwell on that to help us and to remind us that in the future, and even the future of this day, because still half the day ahead, right? It's all future. God will be good to us. So the theme for this year is trusting in the goodness of God. Trusting in the goodness of God. So we explored the importance of remembering the past. Today, we are going to look at the folly of forgetting God. The folly of forgetting God. Now, there will be a positive aspect to that. But you'll notice that in the reading this morning, you heard those words, "Do not forget the Lord your God. Do not forget the Lord your God." So second point in this outline, the first one was remembering what God has done in the past. The second is, let's not forget God's acts. Not just the ones in the past, but the ones that he's doing right now in your life and the ones that he will do. When he does them in the future, we are to remember them. When he provides for you in the future, we are to remember that it is God who has given us what he has provided. And how often for us, when we get busy and we get doing the things, you know, the work that God has called us to do, and that's whatever your job is, that's whatever he has led you to do, that sometimes, especially in our country, it gets to be that we have done all the work ourselves and God becomes somewhat non-existent. Now, we would never say it that way. But you know, if the children of Israel needed to be warned and did not, they have a great relationship with God. If they needed to be warned, certainly we need to be warned. So let's look today. There are actually follies if you forget God. And I want you to understand, you'll see it. It's in your notes. You'll see it, the word peril. When you hear the word peril today or see the word peril, you'll know I'm giving you some truths about if you forget God, here's the peril that you are up against and that you will face. The fulfillment of God's promises in the future is guaranteed based on what he has done in the past. So if we're going to trust in the goodness of God in 2019, and by my calculation, we've only gone through 12 and a half days of 2019, most of the year is still ahead, right? I'm not very good at math, but 365 minus 12 and a half is something. It's about 350 some odd days. So is God going to be good for the rest of 2019? Are we going to trust that he will be good? And what is that based on? It's known to us because he's been good to us in the past. And you know what? He's also good to you as you sit at 11:45 on a Sunday morning on January 13th, 2019. He's good. We know from a myriad of scriptures that God has kept his word in the past. And since we know that God doesn't lie, Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, and that God keeps his promises, Hebrews chapter 6, 13 through the end of the chapter, we can be certain that he will also keep his word in the present and in the future. He doesn't lie. He keeps his promises. He's good. What a combination. Had the Israelites seen God work in the past? Yes. Moses had just told them that very truth. Let me read you Deuteronomy chapter 6. And you know, we looked at some of these verses before, but if you look at Deuteronomy 6, or well, 4, 5, 6, and 7, we find that God had worked for them and helped them and had kept them safe. Verse 21 of chapter 6. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed signs and wonders, great and mighty, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all the household. There, before our eyes, we witnessed God do amazing things to get us out of that land. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in. He brought us out so he might bring us in. To give us this land, which he sware unto our fathers, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always. He did these things for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is to this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Had God done great work for them? Yes. And now on the precipice of entering the promised land, God had more words for his people. Look at Deuteronomy 8, because as we think today about not forgetting God's acts in the present and in what is to come, I have 2 points I want you to see in this chapter today. Number one, or the first part under forgetting not his acts, do not forget the provisions of the land. When I lead you into the land, I'm going to provide for you. We just saw how he had provided for them in the wilderness. Now, they're about ready to cross the Jordan River. Of course, Moses won't be the one who leads them in. We know that. He's going to die by the end of the book. Joshua will be commissioned later in the book of Deuteronomy, and he will take over as we open the book of Joshua. But in here in verse 7, look what he says. So the Lord thy God will bring you into a good land. a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat bread without scarceness. You will not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of those hills may dig brass. Moses says, he says, here are the promises of God. And let me just remind you, he had just told them that he had been good to them in the wilderness. So let me just tell you now, children, I'm speaking for Moses here through God. Let me just tell you, look what I got for you. Look what I have. This sounds pretty good. I've got a place for you. That's good. It's going to have water. It's going to have food. It's going to have an abundance of everything that you need. It's going to have precious metals. You're going to be taken care of. Does that remind you of where you live today? It does for me. It reminds me of what I have in my house. It reminds me of the crops in this county. It reminds me of the rivers and the lakes of this area. It reminds me of all that we have in this location. And when we think about back here that the Lord was going to bring him into a good land, what a journey it had been from the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph to Egypt and slavery to Sinai and the law and the desert wanderings. Now was the time. God's promises that he had made to Abraham, reiterated to the other patriarchs, given to Moses before and after his work of leading the children out of Egypt, God had been faithful every step of the way. And the promises of God had been etched in stone. It had been written for the people to see. The promises had been given time and time again. And here is another reminder that God would faithfully and abundantly provide the land and all that was in it for his people. Here it is. It's yours. Here's all that's in it. The land would be luscious. It'd have water to irrigate the crops. In contrast to the desert barrenness and what they had been through in these past 40 years, the lack of food. You remember when they first got out? Where's the food, God? Where's the water, God? When they got out of Egypt, God provided manna and water out of the rock and other things he provided for them. But now, certainly they were sick of having manna every day. I mean, you know, I'm trying to eat a little healthier and Judy's trying to eat a little healthier and it's been ongoing for a few weeks, months, attempts at it, and we fail some days. But, you know, Judy's been eating her smoothies. Her smoothies look green. Mine look more not that color, but she's got more healthy things in them because they're spinach and kale. And I don't put too much spinach, and I like the berries, the blueberries, and those kinds of things, strawberries. But, you know, after about 5 days of smoothies, I'm tired of smoothies. Okay? Could you imagine having manna day in and day out? And now to hear this, your land's going to have all these things. Woo! What a party this would be. This would be like having a smorgasbord. It'd be going from McDonald's Happy Meals every single day of your life to the Sizzler or whatever the big Asian restaurants they have on the guide where you can have everything that you could imagine. Know how healthy it is, but it's going from the same old thing to all of this abundance. The harvest would be bountiful and great. The grains of wheat and barley, fruits like grapes and figs and pomegranates. And you may think, oh, those aren't some of your favorites, but that's because we have so much variety. But compared to eating manna day in and day out, and then honey, that was an Eastern delicacy. Olive oil, a lot of you use olive oil because it's healthier, supposedly. And so we see this abundance. If we looked at a couple other, you can write down Psalm 81:16. We won't take the time to look at these. Psalm 147:14, Genesis 26:12, Matthew 13:8. Those are all verses that talk about the grains and the abundance of the food and the yield of 60 and 100 fold and all that they would have. Food, verse 9, would not lack. Notice. A land wherein there'd be no lack of bread. The people would never lack. You say, Pastor Randy, why would you choose Psalm 23 on this day for the verses? Well, there's a reason. Because the first verse says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. And that was the idea here, is that they would not lack the physical and they would not lack the spiritual. The land would give forth iron and brass and copper. The mines gave forth much during the ancient days. You can read about that in 1 Chronicles in the building of the temple. Isaiah 60 mentions it as well. So God is telling them, do not forget that this is going to be a land that I'm going to provide, that's going to be provisions beyond what you've ever seen before. But there's something more here, not just the physical provisions. God wants them not to forget something else. And here we begin the perils, to see the perils of when we forget God. Verse number 10 through 17, he tells them, do not forget to remain humble. Do not forget to remain humble. It says, when thou hast eaten and art full, where did that come from? Where did all the food you're eating? Well, it's come from the good provisions of the land. So now you've come into the land. Now, they weren't there yet, but this is what was going to happen, and the promises were good as done, because God said it. He said, the land's going to be full, flowing with milk and honey. You're going to go in, and you're going to get all these things, and then you're full. You've eaten it all up. The crops are giving like crazy. And now you're full. You've eaten. He says, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, listen, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. In not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when you have eaten and art full, and you have built good houses, you've built large places, and you're dwelling in them, and life is the beach, they say, right? Life is really good. You're full, you got a good house. What happens? When your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and your gold is multiplied, does this sound like America? Does it sound like us? And all that you've had is multiplied. Then you face a problem with that, depending on what you choose to do. Then, verse 14, your heart will be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who have brought you out of this land, the land of Egypt. So the second thing is, really, it goes on, dovetails with the first one. Do not forget the provisions of the land. God's going to provide. He's good. You can trust in that. But when that happens, at that point, when you've eaten and you're filled and you were fully provided in generous ways, you've experienced prosperity, how are you going to deal with it? And he tells them, don't forget me. Don't follow after the idols of the people around you. And that's, by the way, what happened, did it not? That's what eventually would happen with the children of Israel. In fact, both the north and the south, eventually the kingdom is split after Solomon's death. And we find that all the Israelites and the people of the south two tribes and the 10 north tribes, they all end up in idolatry. And you read through the prophets. You read through the minor prophets, or the major ones, but the minor ones are a little bit, you can make through faster. So just read a couple of the short ones, and you will hear about how good things were in the land. They were prosperous. They had lots of things. But what had happened? They forgot God. Or they remembered God, but still they kind of worshiped other idols and tried to merge it together and kind of make it all good that way. So right here at the outset, before we get into the main part of the message, what can we learn from these verses right here? I've got a few principles right in the middle of the sermon here. Just as we think about these rest of this passage this morning, here's a couple of five things that I've written down. It's easy to forget God's goodness if you don't intentionally recount what he has done in the past for you. If you're not intentional about and notice, then when thou hast eaten our full, you shall bless the Lord. That's praise him. That's adore him. That's thank him. That's tell him how good he's been. But if you don't intentionally do that, you're going to begin to forget God's goodness. Number two, you need to recognize and remember that we are not ultimately responsible for the provisions. We're going to talk about that more in just a minute. We need to be grateful to God for everything that he has given to us. We do not become nearly as attached to our things, the things we've been given, and we've been given a lot, if we believe they are not ours to start with. You're not going to become near as attached to them if you do not, if you do not believe, or if you believe that God is the source of them. And then we demonstrate selfishness and independence when we forget God and his goodness and his faithfulness. And you're going to see these principles, right, that I've just given you play out in these verses. So if you say, man, that was too fast, I can't write them all down, you're going to hear all of these come. Watch. This is a downward spiral. This is a downward spiral. Okay, here we go. We are just like the children of Israel. We've got lots of stuff. We got money. May not be a lot. We got a job. We got a vehicle. We've got some stuff. We got to plant a garden. It'll grow fairly well in this climate. So we got all that. We are just like them. What happens? Just like the children of Israel, it's a downward spiral. First, the first thing is when you have everything, if you begin to stop praising and thanking God for his abundant provisions, that's a problem. And that is the starting point to forgetting God. The starting point to what Moses is telling the people is that if you do not recognize to be grateful what God has given you, then that's the beginning point that you may start forgetting God rather rapidly. We could say it this way. If we are known to complain, or if you know people that complain that are Christians a fair amount, that might be an indication that they are not acknowledging God. That's the beginning point. And when we fail to praise God, when we fail to bless God, we are telling God he is not the source of the provisions. When we fail to praise God, we place ourselves, here comes the first time I use the word peril, in peril with God's plan for us. You see, a lack of praising God actually, I believe, according to this passage, is the starting point to a life of rebellion. Because it begins the process of your mind not thinking about God. You see, rebellion doesn't start with an outward open act of disobedience. It starts with when we forget that God has provided for us and telling him that. And that's where Moses starts. Obviously, God is telling him this. He's saying that when you've eaten, when you've gotten full, that that's the point you need to thank God. But if you don't do it, you are saying you are the one providing for yourself. You begin to set yourself up in the place of God. Did not that happen with the children of Israel? And has that not happened with the American church and us in America ourselves? Certainly. It opens the door to the process of beginning to doubt the goodness of God. When we fail to thank him, when we fail to praise for all that he's given, it is opening the door to doubting the goodness of God. What's our theme for this year? Trusting the goodness of God. What is one of the things we better do well this year? Praise God. Thank him. Bless him. One of the things that we can intentionally do better this year than maybe last year is to start with that first, because that reminds us that God is the source of it all. And it's telling him, thank you, Lord, this is because of you. But the times where we stop doing that, it opens that little door, and later it will become a big door, because we'll see the next two steps and how it opens the door to the next two, the downfall, the spiral down. But it opens the door just a little to begin to doubt the goodness of God. So first, the first thing you can do this week is to praise and thank God. Open up the scriptures. Sing to him. Worship him. Say, God, when you're going down the road, thank you that for whatever comes to your mind. Thank you I have this job. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ has died and risen for me. Thank you for the word of God and what I learned today. Thank you that the pastor has preached this message today. Thank you, whatever it is comes to your mind, because it helps reinforce he is good. When we doubt God's goodness, the door has been opened for us to take God's place, for us to take God's place in our lives, for ourselves. When you start to doubt God's goodness, we begin to take the place of God in our lives. Let me ask you a question. Is there any peril in that? Is there any danger in you or me taking God's place in my life? Yes. We either become a god, a little g, little god, or we let other gods, not idols that sit on the shelf, but maybe the money that we have been given, or the food we've been given, or the whatever it is, we let them take the place of God. Let me ask you again, is there danger in that? Is there danger in idolatry? Is there danger when we begin to doubt the goodness of God, when we don't admit and praise and thank and tell him he's the source? Of course. You say, oh, it's not too bad. It's just a little bit. Well, a little bit, as you're going to see, leads to a lot. Look at verse 11. Beware. You're not blessing him. I mean, you're supposed to, he says. But if you don't, he's saying, beware that you don't forget the Lord your God. You see, there's a connection. I'm telling you, there's a connection between if you praise and thank God for what he's given you and the beginning process of forgetting God. There has to be. He's saying if you don't admit the source, if you don't believe he's the source, if you think you are, then you will forget God. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Perhaps one of the things that we can do as parents, and I'm seeing this in this passage. So you say, Pastor Randy, what have you learned? Here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that my family, myself and my family needs to see that I'm praising and thanking God. Because now I'm standing up here and saying, if I'm not doing it, it opens the door to the there are days where I'm not going to think much about God. And I'm saying there's a peril and danger. So things that we can do is to be grateful, to be thankful, to... And if you want to know all the intricate things you could do about thankful and blessing and all of that, I've got lessons on that. We've talked about that at Thanksgiving time. We can go look at that. We don't have time to go through all the individual details of how to do that, but I think you know well enough how you can do it. So there is this is serious to me. And so Moses strongly commands the people to not forget God. Why? Because he's a jealous God. Now, when you think of jealousy, we think of a sin. I'm jealous because Mr. Van Cleve has fill in the blank, and I don't. Or Mr. Jeff has a Traeger grill, and I don't. I could be jealous. Or whatever it is that you have that I don't. That would be a sin. That would be wrong. It was years ago, I remember driving around Linden. The first few years we bought our house, and this is silly. This is crazy. This is not good. I can remember doing this and walking, taking my walks. And when they first put in the Eastwood subdivision, I guess it was the Eastwood subdivision, whatever it's called over there, across from the high school, and they punched in that road, and all the houses that went up were a lot nicer looking than mine. And I remember, since it's not far from me, I remember back in the day when I would walk further than what I do today, I'd walk all over there where they were putting in the new stuff and the new houses, and there are some houses that are a little bit higher and nicer than mine. And, you know, and then I see that if you go down, not Thalen Drive, but it's, must be Edgewater. Yes, it's Edgewater, behind the Nazarene Church. And they have a couple cul-de-sacs. And if you look at some of those houses right in that area, you'll see 3 and 4 car garages and motorhomes and all this stuff. And I'm like, where are you guys working that you can get this money? And I don't know the answer. Either they're in a lot of debt or they had some big inheritance. but I'm thinking, man, I'd really like all this stuff. That's wrong. But when we talk about God being a jealous God, it's not a sinful jealousy. Because he's God. It's because of his character and who he is. And let me tell you, God doesn't like to be forgotten. God does not like to be forgotten. You say, well, how's that even possible? Well, let me tell you, for myself, there are some days that go by where, you know, I was just thinking about it this week. I was thinking that, you know, there are a fair amount of days I'm pretty good about remembering God and spending quiet time. But there are some days where it's more of a struggle. Tuesday mornings when I go to Perry's, it's more of a struggle. Years ago, I finally forced myself. I said, I got to get up early enough to read my Bible before I go, because if I get home, I'm so tired at 6:30, 6 o'clock at night, I could not do it very well. Some of you can, I couldn't. So I started that process, but it's still a struggle. You and I know we can forget God, but God does not like to be overlooked. And I want you to imagine for a moment if you provided something of great value to someone else. Okay? Let's just say that someone gave you something of great value, or vice versa. You gave me something of great value. Okay? And the person didn't even give you a glancing thank you. You know? They didn't even, they just took it and ran. Now, I know that would never happen here. I know that you've never been guilty of doing that, certainly. But somebody gave you something really nice, and you'd hardly acknowledge them. How would you feel? Let me tell you, has not God given us a lot? How do you think he feels when we don't even give him a glancing blow? Or not a blow, but a glancing look. And God wants to hear it all the time. You're not good enough to be thankful on Monday, and the rest of the week you can take it off because you've gone through your whole Thanksgiving list. I'm good enough for the rest of the week. I'm thankful because I was thankful on Monday. God wants to not be overlooked. God does not want to be forgotten. Note here that Moses tells the people that forgetting God, second of all, leads to the second downward step. Look, because first of all, God gives you all these things. You don't praise him. You begin to not thank him. You begin to not bless him. You begin the process of opening the door to doubting a little bit of his goodness. You start to just a little forget God. What's the next step down? You start disobeying God. He says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. And how are you going to do that? How is it going to manifest it? Not just in not being grateful, it's going to be in not obeying. In that you did not keep his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day. So the second downward step is disobedience to God's commands. When we forget God, listen, when we forget God, we will forget his commands. While we may obey some of the time, when God becomes less of a priority in our lives, obedience quickly takes a back seat in our lives. When God becomes less of a priority in our lives, and I think the opening to that is not praising him. When we begin that process, God slowly becomes less of a priority, then his commandments will become less of a priority. And the danger, the peril of not trusting God's goodness is ultimately that we forget God altogether. That's the ultimate danger, is that we completely leave him behind. We walk away from him. We say, you know what, I don't need God anymore. Now, I'm sure that's never happened to anybody. Oh, yes, it has. We can ask people who've come back to the Lord and said, you know what, now I realize what the importance of obeying and following him is. Because when I forget God, you are in danger of something. When you forget God, when we forget him altogether, you are in danger, you are in peril of being, in the next thing on the PowerPoint, in place of judgment of God. And that is not a safe place to be. Let me ask you, is doubting God's goodness, is not trust, is forgetting God, is it a safe place to be? No, there's perils. And the ultimate peril is you may be under the judgment of God. Now, I'm not here to tell you when that happens. I'm not here to say that such and such earthquake is because directly a divine judgment. I'm not in that place. We're not in that place to say what God is choosing. And even when we see someone go through a difficult time, I'm not sure we can say, okay, that's divine judgment. Now, it may be. But let me tell you, I wouldn't risk it. And there's all too many people that have come through the church who are risking being in the peril because they've forgotten God of his judgment. Don't do it. Don't get to that point. Back the train up. And it starts when he's given you all that he's given you. And the first and primary thing is not the physical food, by the way. You know that? For you and I today, the primary thing that God has given us is his son. Don't forget it. Every day should be a day of thanking God for his son. Every day should be a thanking God of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross for us and for me. Every day it should be about that. I'll tell you what, if we make that a habit of daily remembering what Jesus Christ did, we will do a really probably better job of not forgetting God and his goodness. We'll probably be in a better place. Disobedience to God will always lead us to a place of unrest and consequences. You see, disobedience to his commandments is going to take us to a place of unrest. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I have yet to speak to somebody who is following God that says they regret following God. But I've spoken to a fair amount of people that said, I regret the time I've wasted when I didn't follow God. And if we had Mike here today, and he's not, and I know I can say this because he's given me permission to say it, but he would say those things to you, and you've heard it from his mouth. For those years he was away from God, he says, I wish I wouldn't have wasted them. Now, there's nothing you can do to undo them, and God forgives, and God loves. I'm so glad for that because I failed. So it's not like you may not be able to undo that, but you can start fresh and start new. Aren't you glad for that? I am. And so when you have somebody that may have strayed from the Lord, you just remind them that God is willing to forgive and God loves and God wants you to come back. It's like the prodigal son. There's a celebration when they come back. We should never be upset when somebody comes back to the fold, ever. It should be a time of rejoicing, not a time to say, oh man, a repentant sinner coming back. This is exciting. I think it might be one of the more exciting things that could ever happen in the church. We praise God when that happens. We praise God when people choose to follow this path. Verse 12, lest when you've eaten and art full and have built goodly houses and you dwell therein and your herds and your flocks and all these things happen, then here's what happens, because actually these things might become a stumbling block. By the way, it's not the herd's fault. It's not the money's fault. It's not the house's fault. It's not whatever your possessions are's fault. It's your fault. He says, then, verse 14, when you have all these things, specifically, he mentions it. He says, your heart will be lifted up and you will forget the Lord your God. Here's what's going to happen. He says, if the Israelites fail to praise God, that's the first step. The second step is if they stopped obeying God, the next logical step in the downward progression would be to lift themselves up in pride. And it works this way just about every time. Now that God is not being praised, now that God is not being obeyed, guess who's in charge? Woo-hoo. Me. I'm in charge. You're in charge. And you lift yourself up in pride and say, God, forget you. Now, you wouldn't physically say that. Forget you. Look at me. I'm in charge. Here's what I've done. I'm working hard. I'm paying the bills. I've got all the vehicles in the garage. I got all that cereal in my cereal cupboard. And all the other stuff that he's been given to us. I got computers and I've got weather stations on top of my house. And you don't. You must not be working hard enough. Because You see, just because the Lord blesses us does not mean we live our lives in recognition of God. In fact, the blessings of God actually could put us, and it's not their fault, but they put us in a place and a grave danger where we ourselves can be lifted up in pride. This is not God's fault. This is not the possession's fault. This is ours. What God gives to us is out of his goodness. But here's your word for the day. The peril is that we begin to live in pride. Let me ask you, is there any peril to living in pride? Is there any damage that can be done if you live in pride? Even my son is shaking his head like the only other time he shakes his head like that is if I say he can play on the iPad. He recognizes at a young age that there's danger. In fact, I was thinking about an illustration. I know time is done here, and I'm not done with these notes, but I think you're getting the point here of what's happening. Listen, when you think about pride, I was thinking the other day about this illustration. I was thinking, I really don't like it when people evidence pride around me. Do you? Do you like pride people around you? I mean, do you like people that just shove it in your face? I don't. In fact, my employer at Perry Pallet, I've been in enough supervisor meetings. I've been in enough. I'm still in a little bit of the know there. I've been there a long time. I know Perry's don't like it when, your 18-year-old, 19-year-old person come in and you're about 3 months on the job and you're telling them what to do. And that's not Perry's fault. That's not God's fault. And that person may not know God. They may not be a Christian, but you get the point. None of it, we don't like that. So you see, pride not only affects our own lives, it affects everybody else around us. The peril is we begin to live in pride. Pride will take us to places we had no intentions of going. When we become lifted up, when we take kind of like our own ownership, that will take us to places that we never intended to go. Things we'll do that we never intended to do. We know we're probably wrong before. We're all of a sudden doing them. Case exhibit point A, the children of Israel. When you look and start reading in the book of Judges, Joshua dies. Do you know how that opens right after, soon after? They were doing right in their own eyes. That sounds like pride to me. That sounds like forgetting God. That sounds like not trusting in his goodness. That sounds like exactly what we're talking about today. The point is, and now all of a sudden they're doing things, and then you trace through most of the Old Testament, and from then on, we see that the children of Israel, all of a sudden they're worshiping. They're willing to offer their own children to God. They're willing to do some things they would never thought they would do. And certainly Joshua and Moses never told them to do. But you open that book of Judges and they are doing things they never intended they thought were possible. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen people around you do this, manifest it in this pattern, and then when they're doing things they wouldn't have done before? I think so. I think you know what I mean. Don't be this person. Don't be this person. It's not worth it. There are dangers, there are follies in forgetting God. And this is the peril of pride. Pride destroys lives from the inside out. Humility is a tough subject to discuss. It's a tough subject to discuss from the pulpit. Because the moment you think you're talking about humility and all that's good about it, you are close to being lifted up in pride. But let me tell you one thing that I think would be helpful when it comes to the subject of humility. And I think we better stop here. We'll have material. This actually segues into the last section. We'll stop with here. I've got more to say, but one of the things that I think that can help us when it comes to, let's say we're struggling a little bit with pride. And pride manifests itself in me first, but also manifests in, oh man, woe is me. I'm the worst in the world and you get people to say, oh, he's really good. He's not really that bad. Sometimes happens to me. Happens to you. One of the things that has helped me, I just leave this for you, is to pray humility for your life. Write out on your prayer card or your prayer list a few things. There are areas that maybe God could help you improve in this, and just ask God to help you. And the other thing is, open your eyes to serve others. There's nothing more that could probably humble somebody is to find somebody else that's a lot less good shape than you are, worse shape than you are, I should say, and be willing to get dirty and help them. And I know for us, sometimes that's really hard because we don't like getting dirty. We don't like going under the house and fixing the plumbing problem of the next door neighbor. But one of the ways that you can exhibit humility is opening your eyes to all the needy people around you and just do a few of those projects and then be quiet. Don't say, oh man, look what I just did. Just be quiet. Are you in danger of forgetting God? Are you in danger of not trusting in His goodness for this year? Well, it starts by not praising Him. Then the door is open to disobeying Him. Then thirdly, you lift yourself up. If any of those apply to you today, even a little bit, I'm not saying at the end of 2019 that you are going to have forgotten God. But I will say this, it all starts somewhere. And for every person that has forgotten God, that knew about God and His goodness prior, it starts here. What are you going to do about it?